And hello, everybody. You're live with Patricia Corey, known to most of you as the author channel of the Syrian Revelations Trilogy. I'd like to welcome you to my new show, Beyond the Matrix. This is a program for people who dare to think outside the box of convention. I intend to take this show way past the boundaries of common belief systems and accepted paradigms, so we will be venturing out into the deep space of your mind to bring forward what you already know deep down inside the well of your subconscious mind and your universal experience. So breathe deeply, open your mind and heart to what potential lies beyond your convictions, out of fear, and into the power zone. Before introducing my guests, I do like to thank my friends at bbsradio.com for providing the platform for people to bring forth wisdom, messages, and the information that humankind needs right now when we seem not to be able to find it in the controlled media. So we'll be talking to experts on crop circles like tonight's guests, ETs, extra-dimensional consciousness, the nature of the universe, shamanic wisdom. We're going deep. So mark your calendars. If you like what you hear tonight, please be sure to tell your friends that this is the spot, 12 p.m. Pacific Coast Time on www.bbsradio.com. I'll be opening the program to call-ins for me or for my guests in the last 15 minutes of the program. So before we get going, jot these numbers down. You'll have a toll-free number, 877-876-5222. Seven in the U.S. And for those of you outside the U.S., you'll need to call 530-876-3222. Great. My very special guests on the program tonight are Ed and Chris Sherwood, noted experts, real long timers on the ever-evolving phenomenon and investigation into the crop circles. Their website, be sure to get this, is www.cropcircleanswers.com. Sorry. It's an amazing site filled with a lifetime of discovery into this exciting interdimensional expression of universal consciousness. Combined, Ed and Chris have over 40 years of research, investigation, and experience to share with us all, and I'm really honored to have them with us. Hi, Ed and Chris. Are you there?
Hi, Patricia. Yes,
hello.
We are.
Welcome to
hello,
Beyond
Patricia.
The Matrix.
Thank you for the wonderful introduction.
And thank you for having us on. It's a great pleasure.
Yes.
And it's a great honor to have you here. I first ran into you both in a crop circle way back in 1997, which was 1 year after my life-altering experience in the Julia Set formation. That was at Silbury Hill in Wiltshire. That's 10 years, unbelievably. And I'd like to start the show tonight by asking you to give us a very brief overview of your work and your discoveries in this time frame. And bearing in mind that we will have listeners who have never even heard of the circles until now, just as we will have accomplished journeyers. So let us have a little introduction into your work, please.
Okay, well, perhaps beginning with myself, I started reading about crop circles in the late 1970s and very much started the actual research, my own research in 1984, when I started to notice, as a few other researchers did at the time, that the number of crop circle formations in England were, one, increasing in number, and two, appearing closer to ancient sacred sites. Both of these, I thought, were major clues, signs to pay attention to, and that got me very much following the subject until 1990, when we received in England the largest number of crop circle formations than perhaps any other year since. And that year I started on-site crop circle research, and within a matter of days, I had seen what I felt were convincing non-man-made formations and convincing man-made formations. So my eyes were open to both at the time, and I started doing conducting research into both the possible physics of non-man-made crop circle creation, and also very much the communication or the language, the message behind the pictograms that were appearing, because there were both there were certainly man-made ones, but there were also non-man-made crop circle pictograms which I felt needed to be deciphered. And I deciphered my first non-man-made crop circle formation in 1990, and for me it was like decoding the Rosetta Stone. Famous Frenchman by the name of Jean-François Champollion deciphered the ancient Egyptian Rosetta Stone, which opened up our eyes to the Egyptian alphabet and hieroglyphics.
Yes,
and the history of ancient Egyptology. Well, in a similar way, I deciphered a formation in 1990 which totally opened my eyes to not just what it was saying, but how the intelligence behind it was communicating.
Okay, and we're going to get on that in a minute. I just want to go back to clear up one point so that we can get through the conversation more fluidly, and that is whether or not a crop circle is man-made or a non-man-made, as you referred to. I'd like to take this opportunity to say that, yes, indeed, there are many man-made crop circles. We can discuss the motivation and the inspiration of the people that are doing those in another moment. I think we can forget about, what is it, Doug and Dave, the plankers that went out in the middle of the night and were the explanation for some of these phenomenal formations. And we do know that now there are people out there creating some fabulous images in the wheat, but certainly there's a whole other vibration, sharpness, message, and energy to those that we will call non-human creation.
Exactly.
Are we on the same page on that?
Yes. We also remind people constantly that even though we feel that there have been many, many man-made formations, in fact, it's like ufology. You know, if you take the percentage of genuine UFO sightings as opposed to those what are misidentified natural phenomena, man-made things, the percentage of actual extraterrestrial and other supernatural source UFO sightings is actually very small, but that small percentage actually is thousands of formations. And in the case of formations, we tend to say that if you were to lump together all of the formations from every country since known records, 90% or more, in our view, has been man-made. However, the 10% or less than 10% has not, and that percentage actually is hundreds of formations. So that is not just a few formations, that's hundreds.
And I would like to also add that when we're talking about crop circle formations, just so that we're all clear on terminology, we've moved well beyond the appearance of individual circles that have been pressed down into the wheat, and we are now seeing the most elaborate, exquisite expressions of sacred geometry, Fibonacci sequence, golden mean, and other incredible expressions of mathematics, higher mathematics and geometry and consciousness range from 10 to, what 10, from 1 to hundreds of circles and elements included. So we're no longer talking about very simplistic circles appearing in
the... Oh, no, not at all. There are so many amazing pictograms that have appeared and over the years. In fact, if people look at some of our articles, they will see the ones that we focus on are have been some of the most amazing and significant pictograms that we've decoded and we've analyzed and written in length about. And that is part of what our focus is. We focus our work completely on what we consider the non-man-made formations, and hope to help people understand and be able to distinguish them from the ones that so have clouded the picture for a lot of people.
Since 1990, this phenomenon has become very pictographic. And obviously, people who are motivated to go out into the fields as teams of people, for example, and imitate genuine-looking formations and read the many books and attend the talks and conferences and browse the Internet, there are many people who've been motivated and have learned that sacred geometry is a big part of what has been encoded within non-man-made formations. So they are also going out there and trying to, especially those that are more experienced and better at surveying and so on, also incorporating sacred geometry, or at least trying to, into their formations, which unfortunately for many people, it's become very, very difficult to distinguish a non-man-made formation from one man-made. However, if you turn the clock back and you go back to the earlier years, like from 1990, and you come forward, especially from 1990 to 2001, in that block of time, that 11-year block of time, in addition to many man-made, deceptively made formations, imitating, rehashing, genuine formations, there were some tremendous formations which, as you just said, incorporated sacred geometry within them. In fact, it was the genuine formations that first got us looking into sacred geometry and first stimulated even the human groups to go out making formations with sacred geometry. And so you need to sort of turn the clock back, see where it began, see once you can discern non-man-made from man-made, it becomes a lot easier to then realize not just what the genuine phenomenon has been communicating, but also see what human people groups are doing too.
And in fact, yeah, and I think that if it's also a sort of exquisite irony that the very debunkers that are going out to make these circles so that they can come back and tell people that they aren't, there's nothing to the phenomenon, are nonetheless totally plugged in, totally tuned into the concept of expression of consciousness through form, through geometry, through number, and in a very ironic way are reinforcing the idea of this being a phenomenon of universal consciousness expressing itself through geometry.
Yes, definitely. And also, we often say to people that the genuine phenomenon, that which was not made by people, by hands and feet, and especially deceptively, it very much has been giving us signs affirming that we're in a special time, a time of transition, a time of awakening human collective consciousness, which I see, have seen since early 91 to be a major component in the non-man-made crop circle creation process. That is the energy of our consciousness, the energy of our thoughts, emotions, attention, and intentions. This individual and collective energy is a vital ingredient in the non-man-made crop circle creation process.
Absolutely.
And especially from formations that are originating from a universal mind source. Because in my view, since 91, I have reached the conclusion that there are basically three sources to the worldwide crop circle phenomenon. If you want to put it very, very simply, in just a few words, you could say God, ETs, and man. But you might need to redefine what we mean by God. If we mean at least a universal, infinite intelligence and consciousness, which we are all part of, then I would say yes. And the how we know that there is a universal mind source behind what we feel to be most of the non-man-made formations is reflected in the formations themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's the reason why we called our website CropCircleAnswers.com, Crop Circle Answers, because many people, thousands of people worldwide, ourselves included, since many years have been asking the question, who and what is really creating this phenomenon? And in our view, the answer to that question has been given to us over and over and over again in the fields before 1990, but very graphically since 1990. The answer has been given to us geometrically, symbolically, mathematically, biophysically, physically, phenomenally. It's been given in many ways, and we have focused a lot on trying to decipher and read the communication of non-man-made formations and what that communication has revealed to us are answers which typically reflect an infinite universal source. If you want to find the source of this phenomenon, it's universal. It involves natural and supernatural energies and forces, including the energy of our consciousness. If you were to lump it all together, if you were to see how much natural forces are involved and even supernatural forces are involved in non-man-made crop circle creation, and then try to look at it collectively, it really does look like a universal divine source of intelligence and consciousness has been communicating. Mm-hmm. And that communication has also been prophesized. This is something we have discovered and felt it's part of what we intend to disseminate more through our website and other sources. But we feel that we are living in this time of great revelations to human consciousness, and those revelations are both positive and potentially, you know, the negative, in that we are realizing ourselves. We are learning as a species on this planet how we need to act, how we need to perceive our universe, our planet, ourselves.
And definitely a preparation for something that we all, I think every human being on the planet senses the urgent need for transformation. And like you said, there are those that are apocalyptic, if that's the right pronunciation, in their perspective, and others like us who see the great awakening of the human race.
That's right.
I'd like to talk about your experience, particularly about light phenomenon. And I know you've also had UFO sightings while you were inside the crop circle. Can we speak to that?
Sure. We have had many sightings of what you could call UFOs, but basically two types of UFOs. One type is a ball of energy, basically. In its physical state, you would call it an atmospheric ball plasma, a ball of ionized airborne gas, water vapor, bound by a powerful magnetic field, emitting high-frequency sounds, typically amber-orange, but it can be other colors. Many, many sightings have occurred of these type of UFOs in the areas where non-man-made formations have been found. We've also had sightings of the structured, technological, I would say extraterrestrial-type UFOs as well, so basically two types. But in addition to the physical UFOs, since 1992, I have been witnessing on a daily basis what could be called perhaps non-physical or subtle energy luminosities, which typically come as balls of light. And in 92, I witnessed, after asking the universal mind of God and creation to help me see energy that I knew was present and manifesting before these physical UFOs appeared and a crop circle formation resulted. And immediately I started to see these balls of light, which now I've seen thousands of, and we've photographed them many times. In fact,
yes, I think it's very interesting that you photographed them, and you've got just a peek at some of these images on your site. Let's run that by the people again. It's www.cropcircleanswers.com, so you can take a peek at what Ed's speaking about. I was just in this crop this summer with a group, and we also had they were very, very powerful this year after last year, which was rather limited. Not enough water, as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, the crop circles this year are just incredible, and so many people are having awesome emotional breakthrough experiences in the circles this year.
Well, we feel that because human consciousness is a very powerful co-creative force, you know, a psychokinetic force, that the potential to co-create, attract and manifest psychic phenomena included in the form of balls of light is very, very high, especially when you bring people together with high expectation. Balls of light in themselves do not necessarily authenticate a formation's authenticity, i.e. as a non-man-made formation. In fact, I've seen thousands of balls of light in the region where most crop circle formations in England have been found, and seen them in areas and places where energy has accumulated naturally and supernaturally, and there may be a man-made formation there or a non-man-made one.
Right.
The same with the ball plasmas. I've witnessed more than 100 ball plasmas over the years, but only seen one lead to non-man-made crop circle creation. And, of course, they, too, have appeared in other parts of the world where no crop circle formations have appeared.
Yes, I'd like to say about that is that this energy is an energy that is present worldwide. There is, electromagnetic energy grid that the dowsers and geomancers are all very aware of, where many sacred sites and churches are, just instinctively located on. And this energy is photographable in those locations as well. And, in fact, a book just recently was published by John Burke and a co-author who cite Ed's ability to sense this energy, and he's able to psychically locate it, and that's why we've been able to photograph it so frequently and have so many photos on our website. And John Burke states that one location, the highest readings he ever got in his studies of this energy was in a place that we had visited and Ed had sensed out, way before Burke's book even came out. And this is a place located locally in Ojai Valley, where we've had some amazing results. Our psychic photography gallery has some photos from there. But
that was where you had the ice circle, right?
No, it's a different location, and John Burke was doing scientific experimentation at these places that people feel natural and supernatural energies coalesce or concentrate. But he was doing scientific analysis with sensitive magnetometers and other types of equipment. And 10 years before I even went to this location and didn't know about what the experiments he had done. But we just went to a location, 50, 60 miles north of where we live, where, interestingly, the San Andreas fault line, instead of going north-south, goes east-west, right at a juncture, and there was a retreat there, and we booked to have our wedding anniversary in a teepee there. And again, we'd never been to this location before, but the moment I arrived to that location, I was euphoric because the teepee was planted right on one of these energy points where typically somewhere else a sacred site would be made, or in some occasions a genuine formation could, crop circle formation could manifest, say if it was in England, but certainly at one of these energy earth grid nodal points. And I started to immediately see balls of light that Chris couldn't see, but fortunately I had a camera, and because even ordinary film, color film, is sensitive to infrared frequencies, and many of these balls of light are manifesting in the infrared frequency range of the electromagnetic spectrum. I snapped off pictures as I was seeing the balls of light and recorded it, and then learned years later that John Burke had arrived at that very spot and with his magnetometers and so on, and had found that it was the highest reading he'd ever got from anywhere, including from Maya pyramids and other places of sacred sites that he'd been to.
Well, I've just been back. I take spiritual groups to the sacred sites on this planet, and we've done quite a lot this year. In fact, a lot of the listeners have been with me on these journeys. And I think that one thing common to all of our experiences, unquestionably, the veils are coming down. And so whether it's a crop circle formation or a sacred site or an ancient temple, we are now beginning to experience a heightened sense, more out of the 3D limitations, and most definitely starting to experience ourselves in the higher dimensions. Would you agree with that?
Certainly, yes. And
so it's very exciting because we're getting it. We're going to have to sit down and share our photos. I've got a lot of people who send me the most incredible images. In fact, last week my guest had another fabulous image of an angel that appeared to them in Cancun. Their site is angelonthewater.com. Amazing images. More and more of these are coming through to us. And the crop circles, in a certain sense, represent some sort of a temporary temple, just like the Tibetans with their wheels of colored sand. So the crop circles come, and we are allowed to enter into that space to receive the information and move on. But they are more and more, and they are more and more intense. And one thing that people really need to know is they've got to get into them while they can enjoy them. Because no matter how cerebral you want to be about it, until you've been in a crop circle, you cannot imagine the energy and the power of that experience.
Yeah, well, we have much we can say about that in support, and also controversially about that. You know, we feel that the most non-man-made crop circle formations have been made by Universal Source, and it was a communication. And with all things in life, there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. And we feel that communication, although it began before 1990, it really picked up in 1990, and it continued on for us until 2001. And in England, the place, most non-man-made, well, most crop circle formations, man-made and otherwise, have appeared within 40 miles of Stonehenge in England.
Yeah.
And but we feel, having decoded more than 300 formations at this point, learned to read the communication of the non-man-made formations from this universal source, that since 2001, and we know this upset some people, but since 2001, we have not seen a non-man-made formation in England where most of them have appeared. There have been some in far-flung places and a few numbers in other locations. But unfortunately, if you appreciate that since 1990, there has been a concerted effort by many groups, individuals, and teams of people going out into the fields, trying to duplicate this phenomenon, including incorporating into their designs features that were in genuine formations and sacred geometry, and doing this year in, year out, some with a lot of ability of imitation, like people that forge great works of art. There are people out there that can do a good job, and people who do a bad job at it. And unfortunately, for us, we have the perhaps unenviable position of, in our view, looking at the decoding, deciphering the message, the communication of genuine formations. Since 2001 in England, we haven't seen a non-man-made formation. We've seen hundreds of man-made formations. And if you we're not asking anyone to believe that's the case, but question it, look into it. Yes, there have been many large pictograms and complex pictograms and pictograms incorporating even some sacred geometry features. But if you were able to read the true message of the phenomenon, if you were like this guy who deciphered hieroglyphics in 1808, Jean-François Champollion, if you learned how to read hieroglyphics and nobody else had up to that point, and then you passed him a rehashed hieroglyphic made up of others, he, more than perhaps anyone else, would be able to spot the difference. And this is what we feel the position we are in. We feel that this was a prophesied communication. It very much occurred in the last decade of the last millennium, right through to 2001. And then, like all things in life, including prophetic messages, it had a beginning, a middle, and an end. And what we have seen since is what we consider to be the perpetuation of the great deception, because we are living in a time not only of great revelations. You know, apocalypse doesn't mean necessarily destruction, doom, and gloom. Actually, if you go to a dictionary and look up the word apocalypse, it means revelation. And in our time of revelation, which is now and the last decade plus, we are having our eyes opened up not just to positive things and incredible things of the cosmos and the earth and natural and supernatural and ancient historical and so on. We're also having our eyes opened, if we want to admit it, to the world as it really is, including this great deception and obfuscation of truth that we are currently living in as a species on this planet. And part of the obfuscation of truth to do with crop circle formations has been the many hundreds of man-made formations that have been made over the years and still to this day, which, of course, attract many people because there are still many people who did not experience what crop circles were in the early years, in the early 90s, right, or all through the 90s. And, you know, even a man-made circle in the middle of a wheat field, especially in a beautiful landscape and even more so in a sacred landscape where natural energies of the cosmos and the earth ebb and flow, just being in a man-made circle, you can feel like, you know, you're in a temporary temple. But I would say to people that if you really want to get to the heart of the true phenomenon, and you do not want to be deceived into thinking that this formation you're in is something other than what it really is, then you require research. It requires perhaps a broad understanding, an in-depth understanding of the phenomenon, including the human part, and how there are people who, to this day, are as motivated as we are to reveal the true message. They're as motivated to hide the true message or the true.
Yeah, of course.
Truth
but I think that we should not necessarily focus on the dilemma of what is. Personally, I don't agree with you because I've been in crop circles all through the 90s, and I've just back this year. And from a person who doesn't do research because I'm intuitive, I can tell you that a couple of the circles that were down this year were utterly amazing. And it's a subjective experience, and I'm certainly not here to convince or not convince otherwise anyone whose experience is to go there and feel something. I think it's important for people to at least ask themselves what is happening here, get themselves to those places if they can, and get their own personal experience from them.
Sure.
And yeah, of course, I do believe that there are so many of them are man-made, but you can feel. Of course, I don't have your experience with research, but there is such a difference between those artificially, for lack of a better word, constructed circles, and the others that are just utterly amazing. And I think that this year, you were not there this year, you said.
No, but
in other words, what you're saying is you feel there's no need to return?
Well, it's not that. We have, because we have learned how to read the communication of the non-man-made formations, we can tell most of the time just by looking at a formation whether it's man-made or not. It's like I said about the guy who deciphered hieroglyphics. Once you can read the communication, it's very hard to fool that person. Now, I don't say that we can tell all of the time, but I certainly say we can tell most of the time. And we have been watching the fields this year through all available internet sources very closely because we became aware early on that a new human circle-making team was out there to deceive people, and we saw what they were doing. And yes, I would say to people, certainly, if you want to begin your own investigation of crop circles, you've got to really have experience, and we have great amounts of experience. We don't just look from a distance. We have years of experience, but if you really want to get to the truth, you have to become a questioner and an investigator rather than a believer. And sure, if you're just going by your feeling, then that is subjective, and that you don't, you know, I always think that you should consider that and also consider the objective facts and reality of not just the formation, but what has gone before. And this is our view, you know, based on our 40 combined years of research, and despite saying to us that, that in our view, we didn't see any man-made, any non-man-made formations in England this year. We saw only man-made formations. And some of them, yes, very complex, very well created, i.e. Physically made. Some of these people pay the farmers so that they don't have that fear of being caught. So they have plenty of time to make them. But what I would like to say to the audience is, despite talking about this side, we have revealed many non-man-made formations, and our website, cropcircleanswers.com, presents a tiny slither of what we've actually found. We've decoded more than 300 formations, and if you go to our website, you can read decoding information relating to more than 100.
Okay, well, let's open this up now so we can get some callers coming in. If those of you who would like to call in with questions for Ed and Chris or for me, I'll repeat those numbers again. The toll-free U.S. number is 877-876-5227. And from outside the U.S., you'll have to dial 530-876-3222. And we're speaking with Ed and Chris Sherwood. And their crop and their website is cropcircleanswers.com. While we're waiting for callers, I'd like to ask you on another subject to talk about the sightings of humanoid, I don't know what you're going to call them, craft beings, humanoid figures that are appearing.
Yeah. Yes, flying humanoids, yes, we've seen
flying humanoids. Can you speak just a little bit louder, Chris?
Yes, sorry. I'll let Ed mainly speak of this because Ed is the real UFO experiencer, but these flying humanoids, as they're being called, are very strange and inexplicable at this point, really. We have ideas about what we think they might be, but we've seen many clips from Mexico and filmed some ourselves. And
particularly from Mexico. What are your ideas of what these might be?
Well, I'll let Ed take that one because...
I'd like to hear from you.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll tell you a little bit. Well, we do think that it is some sort of an extraterrestrial, maybe hard to say extraterrestrial for want of a better word. We don't really know, you know, where they're coming from. They seem to have
radio. You want to get on the air?
To morph and appear and disappear and do some very odd things. They fly.
Yeah, hold on just a minute. Do we have a caller?
Sure.
Is that a caller?
Yes, Patricia.
Yes.
This is Richard in California. Got a question.
Yes, Richard. Who's the question for?
The guest on the show.
Okay. Is that Richard Wood?
Yes, it is.
Hi, you love.
Hi. How you doing?
Fine, thank you. Okay, go ahead with your question.
Is there any difference in the damage to the crops? Of the man-made versus the non-man-made crop circles?
Yes, there is, and that's something that we hold up as much as possible. Biophysical evidence. There is clear biophysical evidence in some formations where that analysis has been done, that they weren't made by people. For example, in Laguna Canyon in 1996, just 2 weeks after I emigrated here, a pictogram, the first in the Western Hemisphere, appeared on a hillside full of hundreds of different species of plants and weeds all randomly mixed up. The energy went into that hillside, selectively bent only two species, which interestingly were both English plants, bent them 90 degrees without even a crease, in addition to the natural bend of the plant, so that they looked like they were steamed into position. And this was a pictogram. This wasn't a simple circle. And so you had selective plant species bending among hundreds of others around it, and you also had plant bending that was bent like it had been steamed. Now, this is something that man-made formations, they cannot do.
And the plants keep growing. The plants are healthy. And in the case of man-made, a lot of times there's broken stalks, there's scraping.
Well,
there's
they might still keep growing because the plants haven't been killed, but... The man-made formations, you know, they're physically trampled, so plants will try and stand back up to the light. And
Hold on. Does that answer your question, Richard? I guess we've lost him. Okay, go ahead. Sorry, Ed.
In a man-made formation, you don't find the biophysical evidence that you will find in a non-man-made formation if you do the research. Also, we sent plant samples and soil samples from that pictogram to a biophysicist in Michigan, Dr. W.C. Levengood, who, under a microscope, affirmed to us that the cells within those plants looked like they'd been rapidly internally heated. Like typical with other formations that he'd looked at, where the energy has gone into the plant cells and generated heat and caused them to expand.
Again, yeah, of course. I think it was Discovery Channel did a crop circle story where they showed how the human makers were actually using some sort of radio.
Well, they tried, it's
some
very
kind of heat unit to make them expand. I don't remember now, but
they did it for one formation. But when you had hundreds of formations where they didn't do it, and also they did a poor job of it, you find this evidence throughout the formation in a non-man-made formation, and sometimes you find other things. Like in '95, there was a great big pictogram in England at Lichfield. Chris collected seed samples from that formation. We grew them. And when they sprouted, they developed multiple wheat heads off one stem, up to six on one stem. And that's something you never get from a man-made formation.
Right, but you were growing them in sterile conditions or what?
We grew them under control conditions, and we...
And this experiment has been done, previously.
It's been done in a laboratory. Dr. Levengood has found, for example, from analysis of seeds grown and plants grown, taken from within formations and taken from outside, sometimes hundreds of feet from the formation, that depending on when the non-man-made circle-making energy hits those plants, depending on their growth, their state of growth at that time, it can either enhance their seed growth or it can arrest it. And I've seen this in different formations, and we've seen...
Okay, wait, Ed, I've got to interrupt you because I've got another important question here, and that is,
sure.
Okay, we could spend, unfortunately, a whole day talking about these aspects of non versus real formations, but what I would like to get at right now is to ask you, from the heart, what do you think that, well, foregoing the question of the human ones, human-made ones, what do you think the circle makers, the extra-dimensional, or whatever you want to call them, are trying to tell us? You said there's a beginning, a middle, and the end. What have you deciphered is this message?
A good question.
Overall.
Good question.
Pardon me?
It's a good question. I feel that most non-man-made formations have been created by a universal mind source, you could call it God if you like, certainly a spiritual and divine source which we're part of. Now, if you ask me, okay, what is the message? I would say to you that we have received many messages, but there is one message above all the others that has been repeated over and over, and that is that we, as human beings, as psychokinetic beings, as beings who transmit consciousness energy, we are the psychokinetic co-creators of this phenomenon. We are major co-creators of the non-man-made formations that have an overall guiding intelligence, which is an infinite mind source. So there have been more than one message. There's been many messages. There have been scientific physics messages, or rather there's been...
I'm not looking for the scientific message. I'm looking for the purpose, the reason, the communication. What are we being, what is this all about?
That we've reached this point in our species, in our time. We have reached the point of self-realization that we are a collective mind, a collective
mm-hmm.
consciousness. We are not just individual beings and conscious beings, but we are also a collective consciousness. And we're also a collective consciousness within ourselves. If you break down human consciousness, it is the unconscious, the subconscious, the conscious, and the superconscious. You've got four states of consciousness within each and every human being on this planet. And then you've got collective unconscious, collective subconscious, collective conscious, and collective superconscious. So we have reached a time in our history on this planet a time of realization where we can now have phenomena manifest before us. And even though the intelligence behind it is an infinite one, the if you want to break down what created it, what caused it to come into being, we are a big cause of that manifestation. But
don't you think that what you're basically saying here is that what we're being shown is not that we're the co-creators of the circles, but that we are the co-creators of all reality.
Well,
and these are symbols
both.
Or
yes,
metaphors.
Yes,
through the phenomenon, we are...
I'd like to hear you from you, Chris. What were you saying?
Okay, I was going to say also one of the real critical messages we feel as well is that we, as a species on our planet, have pushed it to the brink of maybe no recovery in the environmental...
I don't agree with no recovery. But.
Well, we think that part of the wake-up call is to say we have to realize how much we're co-creating our reality because we are destroying our planet, its ecosystems. We're disrespecting nature and losing touch with spirituality. And these are all things that I believe are part of this message. And it's happening at this time because we're at such a critical time. And as Ed sometimes compares the phenomena, he says it's like a global poltergeist to call our attention, like individual poltergeist activity sometimes does.
Mm-hmm, I like that.
Pardon me?
I like that metaphor.
Yeah, it's a global poltergeist saying, "Wake up! You know, you're killing the planet, and you've got to realize, you know, you're not alone."
Yeah, and at the same time, although we are always more concerned and aware of the situation of our great planet, still the crop circles fill us with wonder and excitement, and there is that aspect of our evolution where we are now finally beginning to realize we are starseed, and it's just so appropriate that we are being shown
the
these
spiritual enlightenment that it's encouraging in people that's so necessary for us to be able to relate responsibly and act in a spiritual manner toward ourselves and the planet.
We're
indeed, and this summer, for example, we were in the a circle in a beautiful formation there. Whether it was man-made or not is not my concern for this moment, but I would like to say that we were so many people joined together in that space, again, regardless of who made the circle, with a feeling of wonder and love, and it was of humanity uniting, looking up, looking beyond. It was just very, very deep emotion and anticipation of our next step. And we're running out of time here, and fortunately, so I'd like to restate your website. I'm speechless because we've talked about so much. It's www.cropcircleanswers.com. to get some of the insights and wisdom from Ed and Chris and their years of research. So you'll want to go there. Let's see what else I want to tell you. Don't forget also that my website is www.syrianrevelations.com. .net, and you can come there and see what I'm up to. I'd like to also tell you that next week we'll be talking about the crop circles again and the sacred sites of England, with a filmmaker and a new friend. Her name is Patty Greer. She was in Avalon while I was there, and we had some pretty synchronistic things happening. So she'll have plenty of amazing moments and impressions to share with you, too. Ed and Chris, have you got any last-minute inspirational messages for the audience?
I'd like to add something, and that is that through this phenomenon, especially through the genuine non-man-made phenomenon, it is a teaching that we are individually and collectively co-creators, psychokinetic co-creators of our own and each other's physical reality. And that means on the planet and in the cosmos. And this is something we feel has been affirmed over and over in the formations, especially through the direct interactions that have taken place between ourselves and other people who have, say, thought something, said something, written something, drawn something privately, unknown to others, and
then it's manifested.
When it's appropriate and applicable, it is manifested in the fields.
And I would like to interject that this is not only the situation in the field. This is also the situation in sacred sites or whatever. A sacred site can be a mountain. It can be a stream. It can be a temple in Egypt.
This
is happening everywhere now because the veils are coming down and we are starting to understand our multidimensional nature. It's a very exciting time to be alive.
Certainly, and another way to understand it is through synchronicity. You know, we're often, all of us, experiencing this in one form or another, and then wondering how is it that we can, by ourselves, be conscious of something and then have outwardly in our physical world around us the thing we were thinking of or feeling manifested or reflected. And that shows, I think, that we are living in a psychokinetic universe.
Yes, and it's manifesting very quickly. So remember, all of you, what you ask for is what you create. And I'm going to say goodnight to Ed and Chris on that thought. Thank you all for being with us. I'll be with you next Sunday. Please tell your friends that this is the place to be if you dare to think outside the box of convention. And the force be with you, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Thank you very much for listening. Good
Thank
night.
You, Patricia, for having
Thank
us.
Thank you, Ed. Thank you, Chris. I hope we'll be back in touch with a new show down the road.
Sure. We have lots we can impart.
We'd love to.
Okay, thank you. My love around you. Thank you for sharing your insights and wisdom with our listeners. Good night.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And
thank you for having
again,
us.
Again, and for everyone who has listened tonight.
Thank you so much. Good night.
Good night,
everyone.